CHL.
Powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling.
With Brent Doherty, Don Davenport, and Ron Slay.
National 3HL is on the air, 104.5 The Zone. My voice a little froggy today.
Don Davenport,
what's up?
Hi, I'm in the building.
That's bunk. That's bunk. Twitch, please.
Twitch, please. I am not a Tennessee fan. I have no ties to Tennessee. But I am kind of sad that they are no longer around. This NCAA tournament, I'm not going to lie.
I'm kind of conflicted about it because, like, going into the tournament, I think most people thought that Tennessee could very easily just lose in the first round and be done.
Yeah.
And so what you got to experience as a Tennessee fan was them making it to the Sweet 16, obviously, with that huge win over Duke. You know what I mean? Like, that was worth something. Now, Tennessee is historically 1-8 now in the Sweet 16.
Woo! That's hard. That's hard to stomach that record.
Yeah. And so for those wondering why you haven't heard Ron Slay's voice yet, he said he's coming in hot. So he will be here, and he will have a take on it. We were texting last night.
How has that man been on like two of the three shows that have already aired? And he's actually been in studio, but he's not here to start his own.
Listen, man, I'm not going to question any of that.
It's been a rough day.
Slay's got a lot going on, man.
It's been a rough day for Slay. I mean, let's be honest. We cut a promo yesterday about what we were going to talk about today, and he was very positive and upbeat. And I said, "Are you sure you don't want to cut another one just in case?"
I know, I did too. Because
he's like, "Get out of here!" He was getting Babs.
He was getting mad at me about not mad. Mad is not the right word, but like I was just
he's
like,
getting on you.
Yeah, because I was like, I'm not as confident as you are.
Battered ball syndrome.
Yeah, and it's like okay, you know, they've beaten Kansas and Texas and Duke and Alabama and like all these great teams, but they also throw up these performances where you're wondering, like, it looks like they're just kind of sleepwalking. And how's
which
that
is
even,
exactly what you saw in the second half.
How's that even possible in the Sweet 16, man? Hate to question like effort level, but look, when you get out rebounded by what was it, the 330th tallest team in the country, that's an effort thing, dude. So, you know, and once they got down 10, you're like, okay, they don't have the offense to come back.
That was the problem. Once they got down, I was like, this is going to be over because they haven't had, and they're just not built for a comeback. Like, they're built to stifle you defensively, hold you down, and just kind of, you know, chip away offensively. They couldn't come back. They don't have the guys or the roster to do that. So you kind of knew that was the point, but man,
there he is.
He's in the building.
I'm in the building.
He's got a Carver red and black going today.
Right.
His name is Ron Slay.
The Boom Boom Room shirt in red and black.
Yes.
It's like Georgia colors.
I will go ahead and let y'all know we have no guest scheduled today.
It is all you.
Trash Talk Friday. Lines are open.
Yep.
You won't have to wait all that long. I know that becomes a problem sometimes, but, you know, we do the best we can in terms of putting content out there. But
are you a Tennessee fan that needs to lay on the couch and chat with us?
That's right. 615-737-1045. You will feel better after this. Tennessee, the season ends with a 62-55 loss to Florida Atlantic in the Sweet 16. Tennessee shot 33.1% from the floor. They were 6 of 23 from 3. Vols were out-rebounded by Florida Atlantic 40-36. 7 of 12 from the free throw line. Couldn't get to the free throw line. James, 3 of 11. Vescovi, 3 of 11. Kamwa, 2 of 9. Key, 2 of 9. That's 10 of 40 from those four dudes. 25%. They were 6 of 20. The combination of those four players, 30%. Here's where the rubber meets the road. Tennessee led 39-33 with 12:08 to go. Florida Atlantic goes on an 18-2 run and led by 10 5 minutes later. So they go from down 6 to up 10 in 5 minutes, and that was it. Tennessee was 1 of 8 during that stretch. Florida Atlantic 6 of 9, and Tennessee just could not claw back, couldn't find consistent makes. And, you know, honestly, I was watching the game with my buddy Brian Rucker, and we were talking at halftime, like, Tennessee had the lead, but I was nervous because of the looks that Florida Atlantic was getting. And
yeah,
they were missing wide open threes, but Tennessee was failing to rotate on defense, and that's just something that we haven't seen from them a lot. But we have seen it against inferior opponents, and I'm not saying Florida Atlantic was an inferior opponent, but they were to me. Slade on.
Really?
They were to me.
I was really,
They're a 9 seed and a 5-point underdog.
I know, but I was really impressed by them.
Like, oh, for sure.
Really impressed. But do you know what I was impressed by?
But Tennessee
should
not have lost to them.
Okay.
But
that's fair.
Now, the question is, who should Tennessee lose to?
Well, that's a good question.
Gonzaga, apparently.
I mean.
And UConn. Did you know UConn
because
was
of
that
tradition?
Good?
Yeah.
I didn't realize
they played like the best team in the nation in November. They just hit a lull also.
I guess that's why I didn't realize how good they were.
They spanked Alabama.
Here's my final
four. I know, but.
No, but they spanked them because they were better than them. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Right. Alabama's still good too, but.
Here's my final four. Bama, Kansas State, Houston, and UConn.
You feel me?
This is the 1 year I didn't do like the ESPN tournament challenge.
If I
could have 7 of the 8.
If I'm looking at it, the only way Tennessee missed getting to the Elite Eight, I had them losing in the Elite Eight to Kansas State. But I had them beating Purdue. You feel what I'm saying? So if it was a letdown, this is the thing. We left off the show asking what can happen in this game. And exactly what we said could happened, except it happened in the second half instead of the first half. We said, what's the name? Florida Atlantic comes out and shoots threes and makes the threes, and you get a gap. They can't make that gap up.
Right.
That was the whole
exactly
problem.
Exactly what happened late.
Were you nervous at halftime? Like, man, nervous is a bad word, but were you aware at halftime that they were getting wide open threes, and that's not something that Tennessee typically does on defense?
Yes.
Number one in the country, 3-point defense.
Yeah, and then Florida Atlantic.
They just weren't hitting them.
Florida Atlantic was getting threes open in the first two games as well. But that's why Dusty May said, hey, man, we're just going to stick with who we are and what we do. If we're missing, we're just going to keep shooting because that's who we are. Right. And that's the way they all play. Like, man,
live
at some
by
point,
the three, die by the three.
You know what I'm saying? And then in the rebounding in this particular situation, we said coming into it, long threes, you said it, long threes give up long rebounds. And all of those rebounds were long. When you're spaced out like that, you get it's different when you have your traditional 4 or 5. We're standing in the paint or we're standing at the free throw line. You're right beside me boxing out. When the shot hits the rim, I can easily put my body on you. When the shot hits the rim from the 3-point line, you're shooting on the wing where Mayer is to my right. I'm under the basket because I'm in help side. My man is really in the corner.
Yeah.
And then the guy that's on the opposite wing, his guy's at the free throw line in the help side. So now when the shot goes up, you got to run to a guy that's running at you. You know what I'm saying? To try to box out. So the box out is difficult. It's the same thing like boxing out in the zone. But so you allow a team to get second chance points. That's exactly, I mean, everything came true to what we said yesterday leaving off. That's why it wasn't a shock to me, because Florida Atlantic was able to play their game. You know what I'm saying?
Tom Green talked about the importance. He said, when I had really good teams, it was because we could rebound from the corner. He said the corner's a no man's land.
That's it.
And so a lot of guys like to hide out there and fake hustle, sort of. He didn't say that, but that's what he meant. And
that's it, though.
And he said, but when you are active and go after the rebounds, the defensive player a lot of times doesn't expect you to do that.
No.
So he's just standing.
When the shot goes up, they look to see where you are. Then they got to find the rim because you're so far. It's different when I look and see you and I can hit you. Then I can look at the rim. You don't know where the ball bouncing at. It's like, man, where's the ball going? And guess who gets to see the ball and the trajectory of it the entire time? The guy running from the 3-point line. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's it. And they got second attempts. They did a good job of getting Jonnell Davis Smith. Davis.
I was in a
for Florida Atlantic.
I couldn't hear the audio.
I think Jonnell Davis. I think is his name. The guy that got in foul trouble early. But he came out in the second half and he started scorching. You know what I'm saying? He got the cooking, and that was a problem. That's their leading scorer, Jonnell Davis. That's his name. So he got going downhill, made it different. Tennessee couldn't get out of a hole. When you needed to get that gap at halftime to get it to 10+, you didn't have somebody to take control of the pace.
615-737-1045 at 3HL1045. To the phones we go all day long. Tristan in Brentwood. Tristan, what's up?
Come on in.
Yes, I was wondering, like, is Rick Barnes past his time to coach? I mean, like, he's only been to the Final Four one time with Texas, and, like, we need a coach that can bring some energy, and, like, we've had some energy this year, but, like, we lose to teams that don't, like, have a great record this year, like to Vandy and Missouri and just different teams like that. Like, and we lost to Kentucky twice. So,
well, I mean, if you're going to point out the losses, point out the wins too.
And such as who? Bring you talked about Rick Barnes. Bring who in?
Like Swan Bill or somebody.
He has a job.
Like, he would leave Xavier for Tennessee for a bigger time program, or Tom Crean.
Do you know why he left Arizona, Sean Miller?
Because of the scandal, of the FBI scandal.
Okay.
Good job, Tristan.
Appreciate you,
man. Thank you. Appreciate it. 615-737-1045. Tennessee has been to a total of zero Final Fours. Tennessee has been to one Elite Eight.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee has been to eight Sweet 16s.
So
it's not like Tennessee's a blue blood basketball program.
So that's my question.
Okay, but there are a lot of Tennessee fans that are talking like Tristan today.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
We are getting tagged on tweets to Donde Plowman, you know, about mm-hmm. the fact that you know, Tennessee can't get past the Sweet 16 in basketball.
I think
it's crazy. Where are you on it, though?
I just want to know who you going to go get. And what is, when you
we
come into the...
We say this. If you're going to fire a coach or you're going to get rid of a player, a.k.a. Tannehill, right, who are you going to go get that's right better?
And then don't bring me a Dusty May. My opinion.
What do you mean? You don't want somebody unproven.
Unproven. 1 year doesn't do it for me. He had a hell of a year. Great coach. Been in the SEC before as an assistant under Mike. I understand all that. It's different when you are sitting there. I forgot the name of the book. 6 inches to the left or something like that. 12 inches to the left. It talks about you moving into the head coaching seat, how much of a difference it is than being an assistant than a head. Todd Golden is different. That just took the job at Florida this past year. He did it at San Francisco, had a run, had a well-oiled machine. It's different when guys take that leap. I'm not a fan of a guy doing it 1 year in a mid-major. Kermit Davis is the same way. Kermit Davis showed at MTSU he has a track record of winning and winning and winning. So you go pluck him and put him in a Power 5 situation, see what he can do. You just got to show me. I'm not opposed to it. You just got to show me. Who are you going to get?
The guy on the left, is that the book?
Yeah, no.
No.
It's something like six inches
from success. No, that's a motivational one.
Here's a stat for you on the way out, and then we'll take y'all try to talk to this. And we'll take more of your phone calls. Silas Williams.
I was interested. I'm like, do I need to read this?
your reaction to Tennessee flaming out last night. Also, another free agent wide receiver has landed in the NFL, not with the Titans. 615-737-1045. Tennessee has won 25 or more games in a season 7 times in 114 years of basketball.
Who's been the head coach most of those 7 years?
4 of the 7 have been Rick Barnes.
2 of them. Give me 2 of them.
2 of them are Ron Slay.
Not Ron coaching. Slay could be coach.
Not coaching. I could be an assistant, though.
I know you could.
We talked about that 2-3 years ago.
We did. All right, more of your phone calls. Tennessee 62-55 loss to Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic, their players are saying we belong here, which they do. They played well. They played hard. They out-rebounded Tennessee. That's the stat that gets me. 615-737-1045.
Searching HVAC near here.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Wow. Nobody local? Huh.
Wait, what? We are an HVAC company literally in your neighborhood. Why is she not seeing us?
Just all the big chains. Well, it is what it is.
What in the... Can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local HVAC providers. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at cumulusboost.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. Featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
I'm hoping my voice is going to make it. Y'all think it will?
Come on, y'all.
Well, it's Friday, so all you have is about an hour and 45 minutes.
So hold on to it.
That's 5:15? 5:10?
Yeah.
Let it go.
Yep. Let it go.
I like
hard,
that.
The hard cut there.
Yeah, I like that one. They were dancing, so I thought about keeping it going.
No, that was good. That
should
was
we
good.
Play something for the end
I
of
like
Tennessee
your, I
season?
I like your hard cut.
How do I say goodbye?
Balls go down hard last night. They look up. They're down 10. They might as well be down 30.
Yeah.
Because yeah. They ain't coming back with that
offense. That's the same thing, though, like last year with Santi when he got kind of a tall athletic guy. He couldn't get a shot off and they gave shots to everybody else and you just don't make them. Like, man, that was a great, second half, that was a great game plan because running your offense, what FAU did was switched everything and denied where you had to only throw over the top. The only outlet pass was a big man and the big man could not shoot from deep. So, man, yep. But I give all credit to Florida Atlantic. Like I ain't taking nothing from them.
Always.
Like I think Tennessee.
Well, if Tennessee plays their game, they win.
But that's what I think. I think they played their game defensively. They just didn't play.
Way
the miscommunication.
The open threes, man.
But they had two guys rotating to one.
Yes, a lot.
So guess where that comes from too, Yor? And this is not an excuse. This comes from times missed. Tyreek Key and Julian Phillips both running to the same guy. Josiah Jordan James and Julian Phillips running to the same guy, leaving the swing pass open. Like, you can't, those are mental mistakes that you're not in.
Were they tired?
No, I don't think so.
Is that on coaching?
No, I actually think it's on chemistry.
Okay.
I think it's on chemistry.
Do you think the rotations were weird last night?
Yeah, I did.
I did too.
Like, I thought guys were pulled when they, like, I don't think your Eros should have been ever been pulled early.
He was effective early.
Exactly.
That's it. There's been a couple of times.
It was weird.
I mean, there's been a couple times where you've questioned this season rotation and pulling guys too early or trying to prove a point or.
So that's the old school style of coaching too, though.
Right.
I'll make my point during the game instead of after the game. You know what I'm saying? So, Toby, I thought should have played a little bit more.
Yeah. AD's gonna be a player, man.
He's gonna be fine.
Yeah, he's gonna be a player.
He's gonna be fine.
Is Phillips going pro?
I don't see why he wouldn't.
Where will he?
See, this is where fans. This is where
that first.
Yeah, this is where fans.
I mean, you have to.
This is where fans get like kind of disconnected because they look at production, and the NBA's not looking at production.
Not no more.
They don't care.
It's all potential.
So he was 0-for-2 last night and didn't play all that much. But
yeah. And he on everybody's board. Josiah's on everybody's board. You know what I'm saying? Like
he looks like a grizzled vet in the NBA already to me.
Now, I do wonder, does he step aside and let those guys come back with those guys having another year with the COVID year? That's another thing, too. I wish they would have said it on the broadcast last night. We said it in here. That's not no young. It was sophomores out there.
And juniors.
That's not a sophomore and junior team. That's a junior and senior team. You know what I'm saying? So you use that COVID year.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to put this thing back, this little piece.
Okay, color. So Slay, that's quick side note. Slay spilled avocado oil all over everything.
Everything. I mean, it's on everything.
Like a volcano.
Every bit of it.
In the kitchen.
Oil's the worst, too, because you can't. It never comes up.
Nah.
Stupid.
That's like Taco Bell off, that I had for lunch that I spilled on my pants. It'll never come out
because
it's too greasy and oil.
What did you have?
What do you think I had?
Mexican pizza.
You know this. And you know this, Slate. By the way, hi to the gentleman at the window who served me my Taco Bell. He listens to the show all the time.
Hey, shout out man at the window.
Yeah. And his sister lives in my hometown.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you spill on your pants?
Mexican pizza.
Like the just beef, the whole thing?
The beef grease. Part, mm-hmm. which is the grease part, yep. which means it's never coming out. That's so, like that oil is never coming out of
Hunt,
all your
Hunt
stuff.
Hunt pointed out the difference in what you guys had.
Slay's over here with his avocado oil. And right? the next thing you know, Don's, hey, well, I had that Mexican burrito. That Mexican pizza over here. It's all over me.
I'm just living my best life eating Taco Hell That's for right. lunch. All yes.
Right. 615-737-1045. Real quick, Rick Barnes, Hunk, he was asked about rotations.
When you talk about games and substitution, we're around these guys so much, and we read their body language. We know where we feel like they are, and some of it has to do with that answer, not just on the offensive end, but it's the defensive end, too. We had some breakdowns with certain players today that we just felt like that they weren't locked in as much as they needed to be, and then some guys were in, you know, arguably one of the biggest games of their lives, and you could just body language. We just didn't feel like they were locked in as much as we needed them to be. And you'd expect them to be, but it's a big stage.
I hate that.
No. Who's been saying that since the March Madness was starting?
You have.
This is a different stage, and you ain't nothing can prep you for it if you've never been there.
Who also has been saying stuff about body language with them from time to time.
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
So that's what I was going to say.
It's the end of the season. Why?
Yeah, that's what I don't like that part. Not for your seniors. And I would use a different word than body language. They look lost. Tariq Key looked lost as
Our
a fifth-year guy.
Our guys weren't focused or locked
yeah,
in.
I ain't believe it.
It was Moore's day in the time without the time.
Yeah, couldn't find no time.
No.
Yeah, just had that mustache. Yeah.
Do you know why? Because it sounds like he's throwing, and I actually don't think that he meant to do this.
No,
but
he
it
just
sounds
tells you what
like,
he thinks.
Yep.
It sounds like he's throwing his team under the bus, whereas it could have been just because those guys are not equipped to handle this kind of a stage. But the way he said it was that they weren't focused. They weren't tuned in. That's more of, to me, that's a knock of throwing them under the bus of they didn't do their job kind of thing.
And
that's what it sounds like. I don't think he meant it that way.
I don't either. And I know he loved them guys, especially as seniors. But at the same time, all that does is boomerang back around to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they not locked in to focus, why? I mean,
that's what I always say.
Yeah, the seniors,
that's
and
on
the
you
coach,
as the coach,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's your job to get somebody on the staff to get them locked in. So I don't want to go. That's why I'm saying, man, you tip your cap, man. Them boys beat y'all. Mm-hmm. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts
that's
about
what Coach
it.
K
you know
said
what I'm saying?
Duke, Austin,
yeah.
Tennessee.
You know what I mean? Like, it ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, you had opportunities. Do I think the effort was there? Yes. Do I think the detail, the attention to detail was there? No. And that's what it comes down to
and
when you get to games like that.
And that's where you could go back on coaching, too, though.
Yeah, but I also think, Babsy, coming out of the timeout, when you tell a player something, hey, man, everybody on the same page, ready to break, let's go. You get out there, and you don't execute it right. All you need is that little sliver, that little opening. And then you get two people rotating to the same guy. And that one shot that he's missed five, six times starts making it. All you got to do is make four of them. Game over. You know what I'm saying? So, in the culmination, grand scheme of things, we talked about where should this Tennessee team go at the beginning of the season. We said Sweet 16, Elite Eight.
And before the tournament, a lot of people thought they'd lose the first round.
Without question.
So you actually did get that Sweet 16 run. You got that performance against Duke.
Right.
Which was, as from a Tennessee perspective,
that's a head hanger.
That was fun.
That's a head hanger. You ain't got a hat on that. I'm going to be real.
615-737-1045. Gabriel in Nashville. Gabriel, what's up?
Gabe?
Gabriel, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to Tom, I'm not a Tennessee fan, but I'm listening to you all, and I agree. And, you know, with what you're saying, I think the team played well. I don't think Rick Barnes didn't have the team ready to play. They were focused. They were executing. But down the stretch, like you said, when they went on that team, went on that 18-2 run,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the stuff just goes out the window because now you don't have a tomorrow. You don't have another practice.
Yep.
You got to throw everything away and you just got to go play.
Yep.
But at the same time, FAU won 34 games. You don't just win 34 games in a season and not be in a dog fight night in and night out.
Mm-hmm.
They went, yes, they won the Conference USA. It's not Conference USA is not as big as the SEC, but those boys came to play. Those young men came to play.
They did.
And yep. they had a chip on their shoulder to show, hey, this is what the tournament is about. We're playing a big team. Let's go make our name for ourselves. And they played Tennessee, and they gave everything to them. Do I think Tennessee needs to move on from Rick Barnes? No, they don't. Rick Barnes is an excellent coach. Rick Barnes is an excellent X's and O's coach. Look up the road at Kentucky. Calipari is a great motivator, but he can't coach his way out of a wet paper bag. If he could, he would have more than one national championship. He would at least have gotten out of the first round. Calipari can get you to the NBA, but is Calipari going to get you a championship? No. If I had to choose, I would stay with Rick Barnes. Calipari would probably be gone before Rick Barnes is gone from Tennessee. And I say this again. I'm a Memphis fan. Mm-hmm. I'm a Memphis fan, but I love the state of Tennessee. Yeah. I like basketball. But when it comes down to coaching, you can prepare your players for everything. Like Mike Tyson said, everybody got a plan until you get punched in the mouth. What do you do when you make the adjustment when somebody else adjusts to what you're doing? Are you going to counter-adjust to what they're doing? Yeah. When you're in a game like this and it's on the line, you got to throw everything out the window. You just got to go play basketball.
Appreciate Thanks, Gabriel, man. Good stuff. Bro.
To that point, yeah. To that point, that's why I think you miss a guy like Zakai Ziegler.
So, for sure.
Because when you get punched in the mouth, you need to change the pace.
Dude, their defensive rotations and are on point when he's out there. Yeah,
no
and
question.
This is the first on time point. We've mentioned that yep. this entire show now.
Yep.
And he'll give you 38
it matters.
Yep.
Minutes,
yeah. And so those miscommunications, that covering up, he is a guy that, like, number 11, what is his name? I'm going to find his name because I'm going to get the
name. You don't want to John Calipari
yeah, I don't want to dog him. Michael Forrest. When Michael Forrest kept hitting those threes, number 11 for FAU.
Right?
Can you imagine
like
Zakai being on
him? Five in a row.
Can you imagine Zakai being on him? Like, just don't leave him, Zakai. This man is hot. This man is hot.
That's what we talk about when Zakai left, the ACL. It's not just the production that you're missing. It's suddenly you have new rotations.
Yep.
And so Tennessee went, 3-3 after he after he got hurt.
So we keep saying guards win tournaments. If you look at every team that excelled down the stretch, from Vanderbilt, Mannion, they excelled because he emerged. Yeah, Liam Robbins without question. Tyron Lawrence, yeah, without question. But Mannion, he emerged.
Well, Vandy was able to win
Mannion
without
Liam.
Liam for
because
a
of the, who was making them plays down the stretch?
Yep.
Him. So, and then the same thing with Quinterly with Alabama. Yes, it's Brandon Miller, but when Quinterly gets hot and Sears gets hot, ain't no question. We saw with
the little kid.
You know exactly what I was doing. We saw it with him. When he got hurt, they looked like they was in disarray.
What did I tell Tom Crean? My favorite player in the tournament is Marquise Noel. What did he do last night?
Y'all.
20 points and 19 assists?
At
Are you kidding me?
At
y'all,
home.
he's
Must
like
see TV.
Has to be everybody watching this tournament's favorite player.
What did
you
Crean
pull
say?
For him.
He's 5'8". Y'all keep sleeping on him until he's in the NBA.
Yep.
Like he will
he got
be.
It. Oh. And guess what? Maturation, he wasn't like that 2 years ago.
Do you know what amazes me?
19.
His, like, zero hesitation at just
complete control.
Throwing that shot up from the logo, like, on purpose and not even thinking twice about it. Thinking he made it.
How about the play where he was dribbling the ball and pointing at the coach, like, acting like he was confused on the play and then no looks the alley-oop?
Yep.
Yeah.
While the defense is just standing there.
Which they
that
said.
Kid is different, man. Yeah.
They said that was not scripted. That coach said they were arguing about, like, what play, what they were going to do, which you did see them throughout
they
the
were.
Game. You saw them kind of in heated conversations and timeouts and stuff like that. Ali LaForce actually asked about it later, you know? But, man, you talk about chemistry.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing the chemistry that kid has with that team.
Yep.
You know, the little guy.
Little kid.
Yeah, but it is. It's amazing the chemistry he has with that team. And he's been there, what, a year?
Yeah. No, two. I think this is his second year. Yep, but he was at Little Rock. What is it? Central Little Rock, Arkansas.
Yeah, because he's 5'8".
Yeah. And it wasn't nothing like this. Same quickness and everything.
Let's get Silas in here from Nashville. Silas, what's up? How are you?
Hey, how are y'all?
Good, good. Man. Thanks.
So, I want to preface this by saying I am not a Vols fan, but I am what I consider myself to be a Vols enjoyer.
Okay.
And by that, I mean, I think it's cool when they win because it's the state's team. And I got a ton of friends here that love the Vols. And I'll tell you what, basketball season and football season were a lot of fun this year, this last past seasons. But
that's true.
I also think
I got it. That's Pac-Man.
But we have been talking about them all year. Like
people
the
get
story.
So relaxed on 3HL.
Let's see, we can have a good conversation.
I mean, I do it.
Can't say that word.
Keontae Johnson was a feel-good story.
What a great story.
You know what I'm saying? Like and then you couple him with Mr. New York City. Noel, it's problems.
20 and 19.
That's on, and then the rest of it. He had 10 assists in the first half.
He had 7 before I got home.
I was just saying, 7 while you on the way home. Here you go.
I was listening on the radio on the way home. The kid has 7 assists before I got there.
That's tough, man.
615-737-1045. By the way, DJ Chart.
What?
To Carolina, 6'4", 205 pounds, 4'3", 6'40". Man, I wanted him. Bye bye.
We're in a rebuild.
Time to say goodbye.
Slay.
Stop it, Slay.
I was talking to the chat. Sorry. Did they come out?
Yeah. Chat's definitely talking about a rebuild right now after what just happened.
I apologize.
4-3-HL. Y'all can, as Bab said, lie on the couch, get it all out. 615-737-1045 at 3HL1045 on Twitter.
Let's see. Something different for dinner. Searching restaurants near me.
Right here, ma'am. How can we help?
Gee, same old, same old.
Wait, we're right here, ma'am. Our restaurant's just a few blocks from you. Why is she not seeing us?
Back to the usual, I guess.
Ma'am, can you not see us?
Nope, they can't see you. Because you're buried deep in the list of local restaurants. You are invisible online. Introducing Cumulus Boost. Get a boost, get found, get on the map. Learn more at CumulusBoost.com.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Friday's on 3HL.
Telling you, man.
I'm Mike Fridays.
Friday in the NCAA tournament, 5-seed San Diego State against number 1-seed Alabama. Bama a 7.5-point favorite. That's at 5:30 on TBS. That is the first game you'll hear. Right here on 104.5 The Zone. Brandon Miller. Mm-hmm. Gotta see if you haven't seen him, man. Will Bama shoot better? That's one question. Less than 40% from the floor against Maryland. Less than 30% from three. They still won by 23 points.
See, that's when I think the percentages catch up with you. At some point, it's not like you're going to stop shooting them. They're going to keep shooting them, and they're going to go in. So, kind of like FAU.
It is an interesting matchup in that San Diego State is a lot like Tennessee in terms of being a really physical matchup, and that Alabama struggled. Like, when they've struggled, it's been against a team like that. Yep. I just think, man, because they didn't shoot it well last game, I think they're going to be on fire tonight.
At some point.
It's going to come back around. They're too good of a shooting team.
Right.
15-seed Princeton, everybody all in on this one, against 6-seed Creighton. That line up to 10.
Man, I snuck and got him at 10.5. He rose up to 10.5.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Princeton hit 12 threes against Missouri and out-rebounded. Y'all don't sleep on this team, man. They out-rebounded Arizona and Missouri. Princeton.
Yeah, and those some long, athletic, big, strong guys, too, for Missouri, without question.
Yep. Creighton just 6-4 in its last 10 games. So, the sports betting people that have come on the show this week and Tom Crean, they like Creighton to win, but that line's a lot.
Right.
Big.
That's a big line.
I mean, it's the biggest out of all the games. And it's not even close. It's the biggest by 4, right?
And we're in the Sweet 16.
Right.
Also, 5-seed Miami taking on the betting favorite to win the tournament. One seed Houston, can the Canes pull the upset? Four guards for Miami that start for them scored 64 of the 85 points that they had against Indiana.
They get going.
Houston superstar Marcus Sasser is dealing with a groin, but played 31 minutes in the win over Auburn and scored 22 points. My guess is that he's just going to have to deal with that. And then just fight through it.
Yep.
6:15 on CBS. Houston favored by 7.5. And then you've got 3-seed Xavier against 2-seed Texas. We like Texas minus the 4.
Sneaky game right there.
Yep. Sneaky game. 8:45 CBS. That's the late one. Head coach Chris Beard suspended on December 12th. So we talked about Rodney Terry, the interim coach for Texas, and what an amazing job he has done. And sometimes you see this when something like that happens within a team, it just kind of gets everybody closer because it's us against, you know, the world. So to speak.
Yeah.
Texas is 21-7 since Chris Beard was suspended and then later fired.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a season within itself.
Yep. Saturday games, 9-seed Florida Atlantic against 3-seed Kansas State. If you have not seen Noel, the point guard for Kansas State, you must watch.
Must see TV.
It is phenomenal. Sports entertainment. That kid is amazing. Kansas State just by 2 in this matchup with a 9-seed. 5:09 p.m. TBS. UConn, 4-seed. 3-seed Gonzaga. UConn favored by 2, 7:49 p.m. on TBS. We'll get through some of the other games that were played last night. More of your phone calls. Wesley and Gallatin. Wesley, what's up?
Hey, guys. I'll try not to cuss. Thank you. No, so after the game last night, I got to looking it up and looking. When does the basketball season like recruiting like vamp up? Because I see that we've only signed 3 players, so far in this following class. I just didn't know if maybe some of our seniors told Rick that hey, we're going to come back because of the COVID year.
I think that class might be that class, but you'll fill in with transfers for sure. But, yeah, he mentioned J.P. Estrella is a center, 6'11", 210 pounds, 4-star player, number 47 player in the country. Thank you, Wesley. Also, he's from Brewster Academy. And then Cameron Carr from Link Academy in Branson, Missouri, shooting guard, 6'4", 160. He's a 4-star player, number 65-rated player in the country. And then Cade Phillips, also from Link Academy. In Branson, power forward, 6'9", 200. He is a 3-star player, 140th ranked player in the country. It will be interesting to see some of the decisions that are made within that roster.
And you got, I keep saying his name wrong. I'm going to get it right. Pan, correct him. DeLeon, Freddie DeLeon.
Right, that's on the roster.
He's already
now
on the roster, but it'll be
a freshman.
Who is
a hell of a player.
Yeah, so you're looking for that go-to guy.
I keep forgetting about him.
Yeah, the go-to guy, like when you're looking to get a bucket, man, this is going to be a dangerous guy to watch. Dangerous guy to watch right there, so that'll be big.
I really thought Phillips would turn into that guy.
I did, too.
He just never got that confidence level where, hey, give me the ball from the older guys.
Yep.
And maybe that hurts, being that young and being on an old team.
As much as you say, as much as we heard last year with Zakai saying everybody has a voice and you're able to come back in and everybody listens, this is a year older bunch with a guy in front of him that are veterans in Meshack, in Josiah, Jordan James, in Santi. So, like, you try to fit in, you know you got the potential, but it could stunt your growth a bit. It's a possibility it could stunt your growth. I think Zakai's just different. You know, he came in, and then also he was challenging a freshman in Kennedy Chandler.
Remember Keon a couple of years ago, was a flat-out dog, and it took him a minute. To be like, hey, okay, y'all respect me. I'm going to go get it.
You know? And it looked like Jaden Springer was in the doghouse sometimes because he was like, forget that. I'm just going to shoot it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. It seems like a lot that we're talking about comes back to the style of coaching. And the one thing we know that's not in question is the connection and relationships off the court with the coaching staff and the players. You seem to see it on the court as well, but you always see these lapses that something's missing. So
Freddie DeLone is from Word of God Christian Academy, reclassified into 2022, and then joined the team midway through the spring semester. Combo guard, 6'4", 185 pounds, 41st ranked player in the country, number 1 player in North Carolina.
Get busy.
And didn't go to North Carolina or Duke.
Get busy. That's all they're raving about him. Him and DJ Jefferson. No, he's another guy.
DJ Jefferson, yep.
So if you haven't seen him.
Four-star player, 6'5", 190, small forward from Minnesota.
The man is a – now, this don't mean it's going to translate to buckets, but he's a walking highlight. On the one fly, we all fly moment that they do before going in, this man was jumping, putting the ball, squatting, sitting in the air and putting the ball up under his hamstrings, both legs, and coming and dunking. That's what you got sitting on the bench. So you got – they –
and then B.J. Edwards will be a factor.
Reps say the talent that's on the bench, pretty serious.
Well, like coming
in. The talent that's on the bench right now.
Couldn't play.
They couldn't get on the field or get on the floor.
Well, how serious is it if they can't get on the floor? Sorry, I'm confused.
Well, Freddie couldn't play.
Yeah. Let's go to break.
Slade knows things. We'll be right back. 3HL 1045 The Zone.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Let's see. Good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.